This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talked to Peyton Malone about an hour ago. He says after 7, 8 o'clock tonight and overnight, there could be showers that park themselves or training effect, however you want to say it. Maybe 8 inches of rain in one area, maybe in another. How do you handle all of that if you're pumping out the city of New Orleans? Steve Nelson joins us now, General Superintendent of the Surge and Water Board of New Orleans. It's just as easy as flipping the switch and getting the water out, right, Steve? No.
Would that were the case, Tommy.
Let's take it from the beginning if we can, because I think with all the oak trees that we have and all of the pecan trees now that are leading these little fuzzy things or shedding them, whatever you want to call it, how important is it that people today, if they can safely get out and just make sure that the drain is clear so the water can get in the drain? Because if the water can't get in the drain, you're not accomplishing anything, are you?
Yeah, well, you touched on an important point, and this talking point's probably been repeated about 500 times over the last 48 hours, but we can handle 1 inch of rain in that first hour and a half inch every hour thereafter, and that refers to the system as a whole. It's not just the pumps, and it starts with the catch basins and the lateral lines, and as you mentioned, if we can start by clearing trash and debris, if we notice leaves or garbage or grass clippings in front of our catch basins, we can start by clearing those and then the smaller diameter lines. And that's just the front of the catch basin. No need to go into it. Just clear what's out front.
Because of the leaf debris and so forth and all that stuff that accumulates, right?
Yep, that's right. If the catch basin's, if the front of it's clogged and the water can't get to it, then obviously it can't get down the lateral pipe into the canal or even to our pumps.
And along those lines, I always like to keep it simple, stupid, as they say. So I guess you don't want people putting their garbage out tonight either, right? Because those cans get dumped over and then the stuff clogs the drains. And if it doesn't get to the drain, then again, you're not accomplishing anything.
Yeah, that's a great point. Mentioned that yesterday as well. Be aware of where we put our trash cans. If we can exercise some caution. My trash pickup is Wednesday morning as well, so I'm going to be putting my trash cans a little bit higher up on the sidewalk so folks can see them, but so they don't float, tip over, and do exactly like you mentioned.
So I'm looking at a map here at the dashboard, drainage pump station status. I just want to get back to an inch an hour and a half an inch thereafter. If it rains an inch in Carrollton and none at all in New Orleans East, you can't expect, or rather, if it rains 9 inches in Carrollton and an inch in New Orleans East, you can't expect Carrollton it's going to be different, right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that very thing on the 21st. We had a lot of rain across the city. We had, you know, upwards of 2 to 4 inches just about every place. But you look at Algiers, the lower Ninth Ward, and parts of New Orleans East. And when you take on 9-10 inches of rain over the course of 3 or 4 hours, that's going to be, you're going to end up seeing water stacking up in the streets and curb to curb level flooding. So it just, yeah, it depends. And that's, you know, Peyton Malone hit it on the head earlier. We know somebody in South Louisiana is going to get a lot of rain. We just don't know exactly who.
So let me talk about, if I can, Scott Walker said this, council member of Jefferson Parish, talked about water being in the streets. And I thought he made a good point yesterday, which is, and I know that's Jefferson Parish, but if it's in the streets and it's not in the house and it rains 9 inches, then you guys, in essence, have done your job, right?
Well, when the system is laid out for an inch an hour, I would much rather see it in the street, curb to curb, than getting up into lawns, into homes. Property damage is always something that should be avoided. It's something we don't want to see. But, yeah, water in the street and in the curb. If we get 9 inches of rain over a couple hours, that would be an outcome that you just can't avoid. That's the best you can hope for in those circumstances.
What is, do you guys, have you ever plotted, like, I know 9 inches is crazy, but I know it's an inch an hour on an average, half an inch after that, but like where you get into trouble, a 3-inch zone, a 4-inch zone in an hour, Steve, or is that as simple as that?
It is more complicated than that, and it depends on the part of the city that you're in. So, for instance, New Orleans East is actually one of our most resilient areas because you've got more redundancy. If you really want to dive into it, there's a great book called Draining New Orleans that talks through some of that. But the short answer is there's not an easy or simple explanation, but it depends on the neighborhood.
Would there be a movie, Draining New Orleans? Because I'd much rather watch a movie than read the book. But maybe
someday.
It all depends on the elevation as well, right? I mean, water's going to seek its level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. So when I get reports of street level flooding, the first thing I'm checking is the intersection or the street or the property where the issue is. And then we have real-time data at our pump stations for canal elevations. And most of the time, the vast majority of the time, in fact, what I find is that the street elevation is above that of the canal, and water having the habit of flowing downhill. That generally indicates that it starts with that small diameter drainage and the canals and making sure those things are clear.
You know, it's hard to find an engineer with a sense of humor, but water having the habit of flowing downhill. Now, that's engineer comedy, my friend. Let me take a break. We'll do a tale of the pumps and the power and all that stuff when we come back. Texas in his insanity, another major rainstorm coming. The city's doing the same thing, expecting a different result. I don't know what this texter wants anybody to do, because the city is below sea level, and that's just the way it is. A couple other people texting in, Steve, about how big of a problem it is with lawn care companies blowing grass into the drains. We'll talk about all that when we come back. 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:57, 3 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Steve Nelson, General Superintendent, Surge Water Board of New Orleans. Water's got to get from the street into the drain. From there, it goes to the canal. Once it's in the canal, it has to be pumped out. The pump has to be powered in order to work. Steve, take it from there, please.
Yeah, you've captured it nicely. The system is all of that. It's catch basin, small diameter pipe, canal, and pumps. And all of those have to work in concert, and the pumps have to have power. And the pumps and the power to the pumps has been a key focus, and rightfully so, for the last probably 5 to 10 years. Ghassan Korban, our previous executive director, had a major initiative to bring online a power complex project, which will be online this summer. It is well underway, and that's going to take us off of power generation from turbines, including turbine 4, which is well over 100 years old, and get us into a situation where we have a dedicated feed from Entergy as opposed to using the surface grid, and brand new equipment that is going to allow us to power these pumps instead of using 15 different sources of power. Even when we get to 70 megawatts, it's very, very complicated, and it'll get us to a place where it's much simpler, it's redundant, it's new, and it's not a panacea, because all of those things work together, catch basins, laterals, canals, but it's going to address one of those really weak links with some of our power generation.
So going into this evening's event, first of all, do you coordinate with the Department of Homeland Security or whoever it is that says neutral ground parking is allowed, NOLA ready? Do they check with you, or is that their call? And how confident are you with manpower, electrical power, pumps, et cetera, turbines? You got everything you need to take care of whatever's wrong.
Yeah, so NOSEP, Colin Arnold's group, he and I have one another on speed dial. If something unusual happens, NOSEP will lift or change parking restrictions. That's their prerogative, but we do stay in close contact in advance of and during weather. As far as pumping and power goes, we've got 88 pumps up. The vast majority of our big pumps are up and running. And those that are not running, we're working to get those online by hurricane season this year. And then as far as power goes, we've got 51.5 megawatts available. Turbine 5 has been online since earlier this week. Then the frequency changers that we have already available, that's kind of our next line. And then the electromotive diesels, or EMDs, those have all been run through a series of tests, and they're ready to run. That will give us 51 megs, and we need 44 megawatts of power at peak demand. So I'm comfortable with the power status at present.
Thank you, Steve. Good luck. God help us all. We'll talk to Deuce when we come back.